This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Energy News. It's 4 o'clock. I'm Gemma Stroyan and on today's programme, police are hunting for a man who stabbed three people in the grass market in the early hours of this morning. Nicola Sturgeon and the Scottish Parliament have announced their support for the people's vote on the Brexit deal.
So we will continue to do everything we can to protect Scotland's interests, to protect Scottish jobs, to protect Scottish living standards. And it's for that reason, of course, that we have said that if this proposal comes before the House of Commons, then we would also support the option of a people's vote.
And a 69-year-old Dutchman wants to legally change his age for greater online dating success. But how far should people go for a date? Three people were stabbed this morning outside a popular hotel on the grass market in Edinburgh. Our correspondent, Becca Ingalls, reports.
Three people have been left severely injured after suffering a knife attack outside a hotel in central Edinburgh. Two women were stood in the Vennel outside the Apex Hotel on the grass market when the assailant approached them. He briefly left in the direction of Lothian Road before returning and attacking the victims. One of the women, who is 60, has several bodily injuries. Her 58-year-old companion was stabbed in the face and mouth. A night porter sustained a hand injury when he intervened to save the two women. All were taken to the Royal Infirmary in Edinburgh, where the two women are still receiving treatment for serious wounds. None of the injuries are thought to be life-threatening. Detective Inspector Grant Johnson from Gayfield CID said that while knife crime in Edinburgh is not unheard of, this is an unprecedented incident in the grass market.
This is a very rare occurrence. It seems very strange that this is a completely unprovoked attack without any motive.
Lena, the reception manager at Kick-Ass Hostels on the grass market, says that this attack is out of character for the locale and that it has impacted how safe she feels in the area.
I know it happened like the wee hours of the day, so, and apparently it was unprovoked, random attack, which does make it even scarier. But yeah, it does make me a little bit nervous about safety in general.
But crime reporter for the Edinburgh Evening News, James, says that instances of violent crime has been on the rise in Edinburgh and the surrounding Lothians.
From what we've seen, it's not that there's been a kind of sharp increase, but it definitely seems like there has been sort of an increase in a few more violent incidents. It doesn't necessarily just have to be knife crime. It can be sort of serious assaults and serious incidents like that. Obviously, this is a pretty unique case in that we have, two hotel guests who've been attacked outside the hotel. So it's not as if these things are happening every week, but there certainly has been maybe a noticeable increase in violent crime.
He says that although knife crime reports on the grass market are rare, the hotel's location does present an ideal window for opportunists and spontaneous attacks.
Yeah, but if it is in that area where there are lots of bars around and lots of people around in what is a very popular area with tourists, obviously it's going to be popular with people looking to take advantage of that, but I suppose it is a little bit surprising that perhaps given the circumstances of it, maybe not quite as surprising.
An inquiry is now ongoing to identify the attacker. He is said to be a white male of 5 feet and 10 inches tall with an average build and dark eyebrows. He was wearing a black beanie hat, dark jacket, black gloves, blue jeans and Nike trainers. Police in Scotland have appealed to any witnesses of the incident to come forward with information.
Nicola Sturgeon has today announced her government's support for a second Brexit referendum. Parliament voted 66-28 in favour of the amendment that was proposed by the Liberal Democrats. A majority of SNP MSPs and all Green MSPs supported the move. The Conservatives unanimously voted against. First Minister Nicola Sturgeon reiterated the SNP's support for the interests of the Scottish people.
So we will continue to do everything we can to protect Scotland's interests, to protect Scottish jobs, to protect Scottish living standards. And it's for that reason, of course, that we have said that if this proposal comes before the House of Commons, then we would also support the option of a people's vote.
Here is our correspondent Carly Bell with more.
I'm here in Parliament to gauge the opinions of yesterday's vote amongst politicians. I'm joined now by James Dornan, SNP MSP.
James Dornan, thanks for speaking to me. So yesterday, obviously, Scottish Parliament voted in favour of a people's vote. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on Parliament voting in favour of it?
Well, I think that given the right circumstances, a people's vote's very important. I mean, we've been told lies since before the referendum process began. It's clear now that the things that we were promised when the people of England voted for Brexit were untrue. The people of Scotland voted to stay in the EU, and I think it's only right that now that facts are coming out, that the people of the UK have another chance to say. But a people's vote has to be more than just what kind of mess do you want to be in. If there's going to be a meaningful people's vote, two things must happen. One is you must have the option to say there has to be another referendum, and the other is that the people of Scotland's voice must be heard. It can't be ignored as it was the last time.
Right. And what happens if there is a people's vote? Scotland votes to remain and the rest of the UK votes to leave. What's to stop us being in the same position again?
As a member of the SNP, who's clearly aiming for independence, this would work to the extent that it would show once again to the people of Scotland that the people of Scotland's voice has not been heard. So although we'd be sorry to see that we're not going to get the other chance of staying in the EU as part of the UK, it would strengthen the case for independence.
Carly also spoke to the Conservative MSP for Galloway and West Dumfries, Finlay Carson.
Finlay Carson, thanks for speaking to us today.
What's your thoughts on this Scottish Parliament voting in favour of a people's vote on Brexit yesterday?
Very interesting that we're voting on a so-called people's vote, but we've had that. We had the referendum, that was the people's vote. Democracy is sometimes tough if you're in the minority, but we should be making the best time to get the best deal in Europe. We shouldn't be looking to rerun a people's vote, which is just another, this is a second referendum.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Airport has doubled its drop-off charges, where the cost of a five-minute kiss and goodbye will cost £2 from today. Edinburgh Airport management say the additional revenue will be used towards building a new £10 million access road to the airport. We put our reporter Lynn Rusk on a bus to Edinburgh Airport to find out how passengers are reacting to this news.
Drivers at Edinburgh Airport today should expect to pay double in drop-off charges as part of an initiative to ease congestion problems. A quick kiss and goodbye will now cost you £2 for 5 minutes, going up to £10 for a 20-minute stay, which means that passengers will have to be mindful of going over their holiday checklists. Edinburgh Airport Chief Executive Gordon Dewar said in a statement that the money raised this way will be used to improve access roads to and from the airport. I spoke to a few passengers this morning who shared their views with me.
I think it's shocking. It's so expensive to come here, even getting a taxi to come here and going home, and they're charging you all that. I mean, I don't think there's any need for it.
I think for a drop-off area, I think it's a bit much to actually ask for, you know, like £2 just to actually, you know, pick things up. It's not as if we're actually stopping your car here and, you know, like taking up any room. It's just actually picking people up.
Well, taken me by surprise, really. I didn't know about it. I don't know whether there's been any publicity that there's actually going to be an increase, but I'm sure my wife will be delighted when she arrives to find that it's twice what it was yesterday.
And with other news, here is our correspondent, Paulette Myrie.
A Christian woman, jailed for blasphemy and held on death row in Pakistan, has been freed. Following initial confusion over her whereabouts, the UK Foreign Office says she's still in Pakistan. Asia Bibi spent 8 years in prison after being convicted of insulting Islam, which she denied. At Prime Minister's questions, Theresa May called for Pakistan to scrap the death penalty.
The news out of Pakistan of the release of Asia Bibi, I think, will be welcome to her family and to all of those who have campaigned in Pakistan and indeed around the world for her release. Our long-standing position on the death penalty is well known. We call for its abolition globally.
Police in California have named a suspected shooter who last night killed 12 people in a bar in Thousands Oak. A former US Marine, 28-year-old Ian Long, was reported to have taken his own life. On Wednesday night, he entered a crowded bar and opened fire. Witness Taylor Whitler was inside the bar when the shooting happened.
It was huge panic. Everyone tried getting up and then trampled a couple times. Some guy came behind me, lifted me up and said, "Let's go." And then I got a bar stool thrown at my head because they were trying to break the window to get out. We finally made it out.
Donald Trump has fired his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. Previously, Mr. Sessions had refused to oversee the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Sessions made his point clear when he said in a 2017 news conference that he wasn't going to recuse himself.
I have now decided to recuse myself from any existing or future investigations of any matter relating in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States.
Prince Charles says he'll keep his opinions to himself when he becomes king. In a documentary to mark his 70th birthday on BBC One Tonight, the Prince of Wales accepted he will need to change his behaviour to operate within constitutional parameters. In the past, he's been accused of meddling by critics for speaking out on topics such as the environment, farming, and architecture. The Duchess of Cornwall, who is also in the documentary, shares her opinion on Prince Charles becoming king.
His destiny will come. He's always known it's going to come. And I don't think it does weigh on his shoulders at all.
Is it something he talks about?
Not very much, no. It's just something that's going to happen.
A cafe in Edinburgh, run by volunteers who'd beaten their addictions to drug and alcohol, has been forced to close. A charity behind the Serenity Cafe in the Pleasance said it had no choice as it had run out of funds to keep the cafe open. Labour MSP for Edinburgh and the Lothians, Kezia Dugdale, raised a motion asking the Scottish Parliament to note its disappointment and regret over the closure as it left a gap in services for the recovering community. Celtic has been warned it faces legal action if it fails to meet victims of paedophile Jim Torbett. Solicitor Patrick Maguire, acting for the survivors, said victims of this abuse have been waiting for a very long time and they won't wait much longer.
And now over to our sports correspondent Andrea Triunfo with today's latest sporting news.
Two Scottish teams are playing in the Europa League tonight. Celtic have to win against the German side Leipzig in order to stay alive in Group B. The Hoops managed to get only one win since the start of the competition, and winger Lewis Morgan hopes to get a positive result at Celtic Park.
I think that's something that we always thought was our home games were going to be important, trying to win them, and then anything away from home in Europe is always a bonus. So it's a game we're looking to go and try and get a positive result on.
Meanwhile in Russia, Rangers are going to play against Spartak Moscow. After three games in the Europa League group, Rangers have 5 points, and manager Steven Gerrard hopes to win against the Russian team, which is yet to secure a victory.
I don't think a draw does Spartak many favours, so I'm aware that they have to go for the game and go for the win. Now, whether they decide to go gung-ho or, you know, have a more of a patient approach, we'll have to wait and see. But for me, what's important is what Rangers do and how we approach it and that we make sure that we carry our game plan out.
Back home, House manager Craig Levine has spoken about the decision by the Scottish FA to charge both his side and Hibernian after the events of the last week Edinburgh Derby. The two clubs face fines of up to £10,000 after a fight in which several players from each side were involved. Levine says he thinks the response is disproportionate.
I worry about the game when that's seen as a mass confrontation. People think that players are, you know, robots and can control every emotion going. But when I look at particularly the first situation, that I don't see anything in it.
And finally, a 69-year-old Dutchman has launched a legal battle to officially change his age in order to boost his dating prospects. Emil Rattleband thinks that he should be able to change his age in the same way we can change our name and gender. He argues that his doctor describes him as having the body of a 49-year-old, so he believes he should legally be allowed to change his age. Rattleband explains that when he's on Tinder as his real age, it affects his success rate. So, how honest are people on Tinder? And how far do people go to get someone on a date? Joe told us about his experience with one dating match.
I went to this pub, like the exact name she told me to go in, and I went into the pub. It was pretty quiet. There's one girl at the bar, and I walked in. We clocked eyes, and I was like, it's not her. It's definitely not her. I just walked past. Eventually, She came over, she tapped me on the shoulder when I was looking around the pub again. She's like, Joe? And I was like, oh, so Sophie. But yeah, she was not the same. Like, different hair colour. Like, I'd say a good 3 stone heavier. Nowhere near as tall as she looked. And put.
Here with me in the studio are Gus and Louise. In terms of the 69-year-old Dutchman who wants to change his age in order to have more success with online dating, Louise, have you or any of your friends ever experienced any example of false identity when using dating apps?
I think false identity on Tinder is really common, more common than you might think. The number of people who lie about their ages and change their age to they're older or younger or whatever just to fit what kind of person that they're going for, it's huge. The number of times you click through someone's photos thinking they're maybe 23, 24, and it comes up that they're in their school uniform and they're still at school and they're 17.
Gus, what's your view on the term catfishing in a dating context? Can you explain a little bit about that, or if you've ever experienced it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced it myself. I know it's just, it's when somebody takes somebody else's profile pictures or something and uses it to essentially impersonate that person. I've experienced loads of scammy profiles on Tinder, something like that, but...
What do you mean by a scam profile? What would that look like?
It's just like a profile of a beautiful woman, possibly bikini shots, scantily clad, and then a website that you can go to for hookups.
And Louise, do you think it's a waste of time to lie about yourself in a dating context?
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you've lied about something so fundamental as your age, you get found out at some point or other. And people say age is a number, but it does actually matter. If you're 27 and going out with a 17-year-old, the life experiences you have are so, so different that it will come across pretty quickly.
Gus, do you think there's ever a case in which it's beneficial to lie about yourself in a dating context?
Honestly, not really. Like Louise said, yeah, you're going to get found out at some point, so it's not really worth it, and it's just wasting everybody's time.
Thank you very much.
And now for local travel. Traffic is running fairly smoothly this afternoon, but if you're heading towards Marionville Road at Dalgetty Avenue, temporary traffic lights are stuck on red with workmen on the scene directing traffic. This is causing 10-minute delays. And for the weather, after a chilly and breezy start to the day, we have a cloudy evening with outbreaks of rain and mild temperatures reaching a high of 14 degrees. And that's all for the news today from Radio Energy. I'm Gemma Stroyan. Have a great evening.
This is Radio Energy, Edinburgh, Napier, Radio Group. Talk, tunes, tales, and talent. From Edinburgh to you.